Let America be America again. Let it be the dream it used to be. America was never America to me.
In a way, we were agreeing with Langston Hughes, that Black Bart of Harlem. I say it plain. America never was America to me.
It never was America to me.
And yet I swear this oath, America will be.
Welcome to Origin of the Dream, the podcast, giving you a behind-the-scenes look at the documentary currently in production, Origin of the Dream, directed by Rebecca Cerise and co-produced by Jason Miller, author of the groundbreaking book Origins of the Dream, Hughes Poetry, and King's Rhetoric, and yours truly, Cash Michaels, your host. Good to have you on board once again. Without question, two of the most powerful voices for freedom, justice, and equality in the 20th century were civil rights leader Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and visionary American poet Langston Hughes. New evidence reveals that Hughes's poetry had a direct influence on the ideas used by Dr. King in his sermons and speeches from 1956 through 1968. The documentary, Origin of the Dream, illuminates the unexplored intersections between Langston Hughes and Dr. King, the power of that union, and their shared vision that not only inspired the 60s struggle for social change, but continues to inspire generations today and will for many years to come. Jason, beyond being a prolific author and also a writer, you're also an English professor at North Carolina State University. And I know that you have presented to students some of your research as it relates to Langston Hughes and Dr. King. Your students, how do they react to this? What do they hang their hat on as far as claiming these two icons?
Students today are, exactly as Rebecca mentioned, still seeking out the voice of Langston Hughes. One of the most popular poetry sites on the web cites Hughes as being the fourth or third most searched author today on the internet. So people, when they think poetry, they go to their computers, their phones, and they look for Langston Hughes to find his words. What is amazing is students today make all kinds of connections, and they're not only make it for themselves, but they make it in the classrooms they go out into or the people they interact with. For example, I'll have students that are going to be future English teachers at the high school level, and once they hear this, they say, you know what? I've got a whole new way now to teach Lorraine Hansberry's famous play Raisin in the Sun, because now I realize that the success of that play, based on a line from Langston Hughes' poem, Dream Deferred, is actually what got Dr. King to start giving sermons about dreams in 1959. So they make these connections seamlessly because at that age, everything is new to them and everything is fascinating. What's most unique is for a lot of my students, they're from the state of North Carolina. And so when they sit in my classroom and I talk about one of the key links between these two men being the relatively still unknown fact that Dr. King's first ever I Have a Dream speech was delivered an hour from their campus in Rocky Mount, North Carolina, they're stunned because they think they know about the Wright brothers on the coast. They think they know about the mountains on the west. They think they know about the important universities in our town. But this kind of history so close to them, and sometimes, to be honest, even in the cities they were born in and had not heard these things, is incredibly startling, and it sticks with them, and it motivates them in many, many unique ways, including activism.
Rebecca, over the past few years that this production has been underway, you've had the opportunity to interview giants as it relates to our nation's history. Julian Bond, Ambassador Andrew Young, Danny Glover, actor Felix Justice. What do we get when we listen to each of them? For instance, when we hear from Ambassador Andrew Young, who was a very close friend and disciple of Dr. King.
Well, one of the things that Ambassador Young talked about was how much Coretta Scott King and Andrew Young's own wife loved Langston Hughes and how they actually got to see him present some of his work, because Langston Hughes used to travel all over the country and do readings, and how important that was. And in fact, you know, we find out that the first documented time that Jason's been able to find of Dr. King using Langston Hughes' poem in one of his sermons was on Mother's Day, the Mother's Day after Coretta Scott King had her first child with Dr. King. So that was, to me, one of the most exciting parts. But also, one of the most moving things that Ambassador Young talked to us about was how destroyed they were when those little girls were killed in Birmingham, Alabama. And they were shaken.
We never thought of the death of innocent children as growing out of our protests. And I think it was because we were unprepared for them to bomb a Sunday school, you know, at 9:30 in the morning and kill four beautiful, wonderful little girls. That was devastating. I think it's one thing to die yourself and not be afraid of death, but it's another to see life deprived of such innocent, wonderful young people. And I think that was one of the more devastating moments in his life, more so than when he had gotten stabbed or when he went to jail. When something was happening to him, he was physically and spiritually prepared for it. But when something happened to someone else, especially an innocent child, he began to realize that he was not prepared for this.
So that's the thing that we get with someone like, say, Ambassador Young, is this, he was there, this immediacy, this, he was there. He was with King when he was murdered.
Professor Donna Akiba Sullivan Harper of Spelman College, I believe. Tell us about what she brings to the table.
Well, she is an expert on Langston Hughes and specifically on Just Be Simple. Jason has mentioned Just Be Simple and who he was. And in fact, one of the ideas that we have for the film is to have this character of Just Be Simple sort of almost act as a narrator or a guide, as he guides us sort of through these different historical moments. And in fact, the poem that Jason referred to earlier about the Montgomery bus boycotts that was in the Chicago Defender was, quote, written by Just Be Simple, and it's called Brotherly Love. So Just Be Simple was really important. So Professor Harper was able to illuminate a lot of that about what Just Be Simple was all about, the importance of his character for African Americans at that time.
Langston Hughes began talking through the voice of his simple-minded friend, partly because he, of course, was well-educated. He was well-traveled. And his view of the world and politics was fairly sophisticated. On the other hand, he realized that there were some people who had less education, who had not traveled. Very often, people don't travel very far from where they're born. And their view of politics and of the world might be rather narrow. Langston Hughes wanted to give a voice to that kind of character. So he began, and that's why he initially said, "My simple-minded friend." And as we know, over the years, the voice of that so-called simple-minded friend indeed dominated the dialogues. Initially, it was Langston Hughes himself conversing with this other person who was less well-educated. But it turned out that being educated often made a person a pawn for the politically correct standpoint. And Langston Hughes wanted to show that people who were not overly influenced by what the government said Americans should believe, or what the proper, the prim and proper, well-educated black elite said should be done. That those people who were more simple, more down to earth, often had a clearer view of what was happening. And the dialogues between the character who once began as Langston Hughes and the character who once began as my simple-minded friend turned into a lovely dialogue showing multiple viewpoints on the same issue and allowing readers to have some understanding and some empathy for both points of view.
You also had the opportunity to conduct perhaps one of the last interviews ever with former NAACP Chairman Julian Bond, certainly someone who was also very close to Dr. King as well. What did that interview yield?
He had been a student of Dr. King's. He was one of only 8 students of Dr. King's at Morehouse College in the one class that Dr. King taught. So it was interesting to hear about that experience. He also was the one that, you know, really talked about how Langston Hughes's poetry was really, really accessible to everybody. That he said it's simple, but not simple in sort of a weird way. It's simple that everyone can understand. I feel really honored and humbled, quite frankly, to have been one of the last people to interview him.
Langston Hughes, I think, was very much the people's poet. I don't mean that he wrote people's poetry in the sense that this was for poetry who were not well educated or so on. But it did mean that he was the kind of person who wrote poetry that anybody could read, anybody could recite, and everybody could love, because it was so simple. And I don't mean simple-minded by any means, but it's so simple, so ordinary, complex and tricky, but ordinary, at least to me. And I used to read it. It was just something I haven't done with a single other poet of all the many poets there are in the world. But I was a big Langston Hughes fan. I just loved what he said. And I read his printed works, too.
Jason, you had the opportunity to interview actors Felix Justice and also Danny Glover. They have a two-man show, I believe, called Martin and Langston, that they've been doing now for some 25 years, if I'm not mistaken, all over the country on college campuses. They came in October, I believe, of 2016 to this campus here, NC State, where they performed. Talk about why it was important to have those two in this documentary.
These two great actors and even civic citizens have made an instinctual and intuitive connection between the people we're talking about in terms of now being documented history, a history that Langston Hughes and Dr. King knew between each other when they lived, but that has been absent from our eyes. So these two men and their ability from about 1993 to bring these two together on the stage and understand their connection between dreams, to understand their shared collective perspectives is really unique. And of course, performers understand material the way no one else will. They've internalized it, they've processed it, and really have a unique ownership of it. Felix Justice is quite committed in his convictions of Dr. King, and this came out in our interview, that the radical, progressive, aggressive Dr. King is a Dr. King that many of us don't know. And it was wonderful in our interview to think that he was online exactly with our thinking, that the late Dr. King, not just the peaceful, nonviolent Gandhi Dr. King, is one that Americans and the world need to know more about.
You know, Dr. King, towards the end of his life, had moved away from purely civil rights work, and he got into the issues of poverty and war. And without knowing it, it was amazing how much of the work of Langston Hughes and Martin Luther King converge.
Yes.
I don't just mean thematically, but yeah. I mean as the question of rhetoric and the question of language.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
What's fascinating is that Danny Glover is an absolute student of history. There are a lot of people who, out of the goodness of their heart, will go out and front their name on causes or will show up at public appearances to be in front of great numbers of people. But you can't talk to Danny Glover for less than 1 minute and understand that he'll quote dates to you from the 16th and 17th century about African American history and persecution and oppression, list off court cases for you one after another, and of course not just read Langston Hughes's poetry, but recite many of its lines because he's so committed to it and internalized it.
But Langston, you know, he's there. He's immediate, the immediacy of it. the immediacy of poems, when the poem he writes, you know, at each particular point in time, we always see his own calculation and his own way of viewing the world as it evolves and changes, you know, over the period of time, mm-hmm. over the period of that. So I thought it was appropriate to talk about him, not simply as the poet laureate of the Negro race, but I thought in the talking about the poet laureate, the way in which he's able to converse with people, and the fact that he talks about the dream, in the sense, and it's always connected to the dream and translating that dream into reality through what we do, you know, mm-hmm. through our actions, you know, and as an artist, as a citizen. And I believe that that was the strongest point of him as a citizen. Mm-hmm. And it's his nurturing, not of this extraordinary moment in the 20th century for African Americans, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, the evolution of African American political thought within the 21st century. Mm-hmm. Within that framework, I thought, in terms of poetry, not to take anything away from the other great poets at that moment, Langston Hughes was the person.
So an absolute student and ambassador for civil rights, who's fighting every day for the cause.
And Dave Garrow, I understand that he is perhaps the foremost biographer of Dr. King. You had him here on the campus as well. Talk about what he brings to the project.
Nobody in the world understands the biographical background of Dr. King better than David Garrow. David Garrow won the Pulitzer Prize for his groundbreaking biography of Dr. King entitled Bearing the Cross. And when he spoke to us, it was kind of like interacting with a human encyclopedia. I mean, if you had a question about what had happened at a particular time, there was the answer immediate for you, and in such a concise, brilliant manner that it was really quite amazing and startling.
The prominence and fame of Martin Luther King's optimistic, "I have a dream" message at the March on Washington should not overshadow or obscure how the Martin Luther King of 1966 through 1968 was someone who identified as a democratic socialist, spoke out very powerfully about the extent and the danger of economic inequality in America, and spoke out very critically about American militarism and war making, particularly in Southeast Asia. The Martin Luther King whom people should remember, the Martin Luther King who wanted to be remembered, is a Martin Luther King who is a challenging, critical, outspoken voice, not someone who was celebratory or reassuring.
And Rebecca Cerise, as the director of Origin of the Dream, again, why is this film important for us today?
We are at a very tumultuous time in our country's history, and we have never truly dealt with the race issue in any kind of real way. We make little progress, and then it sort of gets swept under the rug. We have the overt symbols of racism have gone away, and now we have this very subversive, almost hidden structural racism, economic racism that still permeates everything that we do. And until we actually have, as Reverend Barber says, a grown-up conversation about race, we're never going to move forward. My hope is that I believe documentary film provides a comfortable place to talk about uncomfortable issues. And so I hope that this film and the issues we bring up in this film can really help us as a country finally deal with these issues in a real way.
Thank you, director Rebecca Cerise and author Jason Miller, co-producers of the film Origin of the Dream, which is still in production. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution towards the production of Origin of the Dream, please just go to originofthedream.com. That's originofthedream.com. Click the word donate at the top of the page, and that will take you where you need to go. And we thank you. In these troubled times that we're all in, all of us need to support filmmakers who will share with us the inspiration to overcome. And while you're at the site, feel free to visit our blog or our Facebook page. And of course, join us on Twitter to get all of our latest news and podcast. On behalf of Rebecca Cerise and Jason Miller, thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time. Origin of the Dream, the podcast, is a Cashworks HD production, all rights reserved. I'm Cash Michaels.